So this valley of dry bones was a very large valley. And if we had an illustration that we could show you, you would see skulls and bones of the legs and arms and all scattered, but thousands and thousands and thousands of bones in this valley that the Lord brings Ezekiel to. And he tells him to walk around it. And can you imagine, can you hear the sound of the crunch as Ezekiel is walking through this valley of dry, brittle bones? He says they are very dry, so I imagine every step crushed something. And he told him to walk around it to get a good sense of how many bodies were lost. Because these were battles that Israel had with conquering armies, and they just left the bones in the fields, in the valleys. And he wanted Ezekiel to know exactly what he was doing with this valley of dry bones. And he tells him to prophesy, to bring these bones to life. And the first one is to put the bones together. And the scriptures give us a little bit of sense, a noise, a rattling, as the bones came together, bone to its bone. Can you imagine that rattling had to be very loud as all of those bones were coming together and finding their part of the body that somehow was somewhere in that huge, huge valley? But he notices they're not breathing as the flesh appears on them. You know, we have a lot of special effects now in movies, so you can imagine how Hollywood would have put these bones and flesh together and enfleshed those skeletons. And Ezekiel is watching this happen before his very eyes. But they have no breath. They have no breath. And so God says to prophesy the breath of God into this valley of now. We might want to call them mannequins or skeletons that you might see in a scientist's office, except they've got flesh on them, so they're mannequins. And he prophesies, and they begin to breathe. They begin to breathe. And then he tells Ezekiel why he took him here to this valley of death and brought life. He said, because I'm going to do this to the whole Israel. Now, Israel had been divided by this time between, it once was one body and now it was two, Judah and Israel. And Israel was already captive somewhere off in the world. And the Lord God gave to Ezekiel this vision of all of Israel coming back, all coming up from their graves and it being one body and they returning to their land. It's a prophecy of hope. It's a prophecy of hope, of life out of death. Can you imagine as the people of Israel, the people of Judah, had once knew they were going to be the promised people. They were God's favored people, and they were going to show the world what it meant to be God's favored people. And now they were scattered like dry bones. And their hope had to have been as dry as the bones in that valley. And God is saying, have hope. I can bring dried bones to life. Well, we're 2 weeks out from Easter, where the biggest resurrection happens in all the world and changes the world. God can change anything. He can bring from death, he can bring it to life. The passage that we talked to around the candle was the Lazarus passage, where Lazarus has died. And Jesus asked them, Jesus comes to that tomb that hasn't had the stone rolled away. The stone is still there. They have to move the stone. And he commands Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. But he's bound in his grave cloths. And he tells the people around him, unbind him. Unbind him. So we have two scriptures this morning about how God brings back life. One of a valley of huge dry bones and one person back to life. And then 2 weeks from now, God is brought to the cross and dies. And God in the Son comes back to life. Only God can bring life from death. But also for us, the hope that is in this passage, that if God can bring life to dry bones, then what? Then what can God do with us? What can God do with His church? As we hear in the media, as we hear from our friends, as we hear from people who have been harmed by the church, as if the church is going to die, as if we are a valley of dry bones, God can bring us back to life. God can renew our spirits. God can resurrect us. We might not look like we do right now. We don't know what God's resurrection of the church is going to look like. But what we do know is it's about relationships. The community was asked to unbind Lazarus. Jesus could have done it. Jesus could have said, binding be gone, and it would have been gone. But he told the community, unbind him. The resurrection wasn't complete for Lazarus until he was unbound. And it wasn't complete until the community unbound him. I think that's the right grammar. There are many people in our pews joining us on Facebook Live, but also outside of our walls who are bound by so many things. And the bindings are so tight that they are becoming like dry, brittle bones. So we are called as followers of Christ to be the ones to go into the community, to see one another, to nurture those relationships so that we can help them meet the one who can truly unbind them, can truly resurrect them. What would it look like? What would it look like if the church moved out into the community and met people right where they were? And they got to meet Jesus right where they were. We would be having church right where they are. So that place can be healed. That valley of dry bones can have life. We've got valleys all around us that need the life-giving breath of God. And it can only get to them through those who have it within them, who can share it with them, who can unbind them through the love and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We know what it feels like to be bound by hate, to be bound by anger, to be bound by disease, to be bound by anxiety and stress, to be bound by financial issues. We know those bindings, and we know the one who frees us. And there are so many who do not. So many who think that the church is one of those binding agents that binds them in ways they don't want to be bound. So brothers and sisters in Christ, this passage of hope, both Ezekiel and John, remind us that God can take death and turn it into life. God can have miracles of health. God can do what God says God will do. When God makes that promise, God will keep that promise. But when we make our baptismal vows to serve the Lord with our tithes, our talents, our service, our witness, that vow is to allow the breath of God to breathe through us into places that need to know the God who can transform their community and their lives into a life. If God can bring life to dry bones, then imagine what God can do with us and through us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.